Good morning, and the conversation continues here on 94 WIPL Sports Radio as we ease on into WIP Sunday. Well, it might be a little chilly out there right now. It's going up into the 40s. It's going to feel positively tropical in the 40s after the weather we've had. So no matter where you go, take 94 WIP with you. Always good conversation. And for good conversation, I'm pleased to welcome my next guest. Always something interesting to say, Bob Newman, Newman Communications, our interpreter of all things political. Good morning, Bob Newman.
Good morning. Happy Super Bowl Sunday to you. And happy, I see it's Golden Retriever Day, and I have a Golden Retriever, so I'm happy today.
Absolutely, and happy birthday to your Golden. Okay.
It is actually National Golden Retriever Day today.
Okay. When I think about what we need to talk about politically, I think of the movie Love Story. Where do I begin to tell the story? And I promise not to sing any further. Where do we begin?
Well, I got into this business many years ago commentating, not as an expert in politics, but an expert more in imagery, an expert in PR. And we're at a point where almost every individual, every decision, every interaction politically, whether they be domestic or international, all have to do with imagery. So let's run through some of them. It doesn't take a week for it all to change. You know, last week everybody was biting at Tom Brokaw for his reprehensible comments on Meet the Press. Well, you know, now we're looking at the governor of Virginia, and it's about imagery. It's about that, you know, yearbook before. You know, Donald Trump continues with talking about the wall, but the word "the wall" is all about imagery. It's all about appearances. You know, he got positive job numbers this week, and the market's good. That's about imagery for him too. On Tuesday night, he will have the State of the Union, and there'll be much imagery that he puts out there about his accomplishments and about where he wants to go and about, you know, bridging the divide. But at the same time, the Democrats will all have their imagery out there, inviting people who, you know, are even to the degree of ones who have recently been fired at Trump Tower properties will be in the crowd at the State of the Union. If that's not about imagery, I don't know what is. The whole image of Nancy Pelosi over the government shutdown was all about her image, all about her toughness with him, all about her bringing him down. You know, last week when there was a drug bust out on the West Coast that was, you know, actually a drug bust that could have killed at the border 40 to 50 million people, that all became about imagery. What's going on in Venezuela is about imagery, and potentially if our country gets involved, that too will be us, you know, trying to strong arm. The president's reprehensible words about the intelligence chiefs were about appearances, using words like "go back to school." Everything we see in 2020, from Kamala Harris to Cory Booker to Kirsten Gillibrand to Elizabeth Warren and Tulsi Gabbard and others, are about imagery. Howard Schultz tries to put out an image of how he was raised, you know, as a poor boy, and now is a billionaire. You know, Roger Stone, you know, who's at the center now of the Mueller investigation, has had a career that is only about imagery. Elizabeth Warren yesterday apologizing to, you know, to the Cherokee tribe for what she, you know, put them through PR-wise. Her apology of it is about imagery. And if there's anybody as much as President Trump who is about imagery, it's Representative Cortez of New York. And now she realizes that people are looking at her like a reality TV show, so she's teaming up with Senator Markey from Massachusetts, putting out a Green New Deal. That's about imagery. The president's tough talk, and actually some of his best work with China, has been about imagery in terms of how they've taken advantage of us. And as I, you know, mentioned, the Trump organization, they fired more people who were illegal immigrants this week. That was about imagery. The Russians getting ahead of us in terms of pulling out of the nuclear deal was that too. And last but not least, you see Bill and Hillary Clinton in Puerto Rico this week. If that is about imagery to see if she still has the mojo to be in the business. So I could go on, and there's much to talk about in terms of the 2020 election, you know, from the Bidens and the Bloombergs and such to the Bookers, to the fact that all of Trump's imagery, his bluster, you know, build the big new wall, withdrawing from foreign policy engagements that we've had for years, you know, the fact that, that you know, he slashed drug prices, he says he's going to deliver incredible health care. That was all imagery. And by the way, finally, the bill is becoming due at this point. You know, and when I say the bill, he's actually going to have to produce in a number of these areas. So we currently have a president who's talking to his friends, who's asking what he can do in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, to bring back those that he may have alienated over the last number of weeks, if not over the last number of months, or if not over the last number of 2 years. And my conclusion, Peter, is individuals all believe they can control the imagery, but look at society now. Apple controls access to most phones, okay? Facebook controls access to people. Google controls access to information, and Amazon controls access to goods and services. I don't know if people, politicians, and their surrogates trying to control imagery can really do it. I think, you know, at this point, what the governor, we go back to the beginning, what the governor of Virginia sees is once the train is out of the station, it's hard to stop it.
Do you think he's going to have to resign, the governor of Virginia?
Oh, undoubtedly. I mean, he lost Senator Kane, Senator Warner yesterday. He had lost the NAACP in there and such. And, I mean, this is, no pun intended, a black mark on the Democratic Party, not only of Virginia, of the country, if they let him stay. You know, it's analogous to over NBC and MSNBC. They fire Megyn Kelly for her blackface comments, but then at the same time, you have others on the left, you know, Mika Brzezinski saying something that was homophobic, or Joy Reid writing homophobic things for years, and Tom Brokaw saying what he did last week, and then not firing them. My point being, that can go on in television circles where they want to have a left-wing bent over at MSNBC, but in political circles, the Democratic Party is not going to keep Ralph Northam around if it's going to bring down their brand, and their brand clearly is equality, and they have worked for 2 years to image this president as a racist, to image his supporters as racism, to image Fox News as racism. They're not going to let one person do it. And lo and behold, they have Governor Lieutenant Governor Fairfax, a young black man of 39 years old in the wings, putting him in there at this point. That will be imagery that will sing for the Democratic Party. I mean, look who they're having do the anti-State of the Union address. It is the lady who lost in Atlanta for governor, and you know that's going to be imagery out there too. That is the what's his name? That is the pro or anti-racist type of imagery out there, which her opponent was accused of in terms of suppressing votes in Georgia. So really, he has to resign. And his press conference yesterday did not do it. And when you first say, it was me in the picture, I apologize, and then you come back a day later and say, oh, you know, I kind of looked at it. Now we have to get facial image recognition and spend a day or two on it. The party can't let it go past Monday morning or Tuesday morning. He's lost all support both locally and nationally.
The governor is going to have to resign for an attack of the stupids back in the 1980s.
Yeah, you know, it's Kavanaugh got through it. It is. What is this, the yearbook age at this point? You know, we all should look back at our past yearbooks. But, you know, obviously he made a stupid mistake. Obviously it was during a time in which that type of imagery wasn't as offensive there to those who read it. And I really state that clearly, which means to me it was offensive, very much so, but to those who saw it. But, you know, Blackface has a history which brings back, you know, images from just, you know, hundreds of years ago, images that not only, you know, go back to roots many, many, many years in terms of other countries, but it goes back to our slavery roots here, too. And it was used in minstrel and in comedy. And this is not something that ever has been accepted by people of color, or most importantly, it wasn't a proud day in our history there in terms of the entertainment field. So anybody who has that associated with them, you know, in terms of even if they say, I went to a Michael Jackson concert, Michael Jackson dance, you know, contest, and I dressed up, I think it's not a positive mark on them at all. And he had the opportunity during the campaign to come out before and say something, you know, about it and try to get it off the table. I find in PR that's the way to do it. The only, you know, offhanded comment I would make is whoever were the opposition research people for Ed Gillespie, the former DNC chair who ran against him in a close race for governor of Virginia, should all be fired and probably never used again. This is probably going to be Politics 101. Go to the yearbooks quickly for now on.
Okay. Nancy Pelosi and the president.
Boy, you know, for somebody who had actually become a backbencher, and for somebody who there was great resistance, you know, in terms of her becoming speaker, she drew a line in the sand. You know, there are images out there of, you know, Prada pocketbooks with guns in them, with Nancy holding them, and she is, you know, his biggest nightmare, you know, at that point. He actually tried to stand up for her, saying she would be a good speaker. I think he did it based on control and the fact that he thought he could control her. And Nancy Pelosi saw a wing of the party, the far left wing of the party, the same thing that Joe Biden is seeing, the same thing that Terry McAuliffe is seeing on the Democratic Party, the same thing Michael Bloomberg is seeing, and they're all worried about that far left wing of the party. And Nancy saw it and said, you know, these are people who have come out even before the election had ended and said that the president should be impeached, the president should be removed from office. And she, well, I think, had a responsibility to that group who eventually voted her in, whether they did or not, to show her toughness. And her toughness was, despite the fact that past Democratic presidents like President Obama and President Clinton and Secretary Clinton have said that there should be, you know, increased barriers on the Mexican border in different parts of the country. Despite that, the Democratic Party has parse that, you know, they thread that needle, and they're talking about alternatives to it, which are actually a very good alternatives in terms of technology at the border. But whereas additional border funding could have been passed during the past administration, it could have been passed even in past administrations, it won't be passed because President Trump has put up the word "the wall" as an image there, and they're not going to let him have it. They're not going to let him go into 2020 saying he got a hold of what his campaign promise was. He actually has fulfilled many of his campaign promises, whether we like them or not. This is one where Nancy was really, you know, the sole arbiter here. I think if it had been, if, you know, even a if Schumer had been majority leader at that point, I think it potentially would have come to fruition. The Senate kind of can be wheeler and dealers at this point. I think this was a time for Nancy Pelosi that meant far more than border security, far more than the wall, far more than even her relationship with President Trump. Far more than immigration and immigration reform, it meant how is she going to be able to lead her party over the next 2 years. And she effectively put a stop to it. I think what you will see during the State of the Union is the president pivot towards the executive order, and he will come through with it that way. And at that point, he will have fulfilled the promise to his base, just like Nancy did to her base, and maybe we can move on to other issues. I don't necessarily see another government shutdown. In terms of imagery, the president had no idea what he was getting into. And I think the image, finally, of TSA operators as well as others out there who protect our country, either sick, having massive sick outs, or in soup kitchen lines, were selling things off. Those images on all the networks were something that he could not withstand, that he did not look at. This president sometimes is ignorant to what he potentially will do. I mean, it is always said that if he had not fired James Comey, the whole Mueller investigation wouldn't have happened. And this is another one that he may, I mean, 1 week is a lot in politics, as we've already said. A year is a lot in politics. 2 years is a lot. But he has some damage to make up, and especially in states like yours, for what happened during this shutdown over the past month and a half, especially over a Christmas time and compromising the security of the United States.
And you're listening to WIP Sunday here on 94 WIPL Sports Radio. My name's Peter Solomon. We're talking politics with Bob Newman, Newman Communications. And we'll be right back after these messages. And we're back on WIP Sunday, 94 WIP, with Bob Newman, Newman Communications.
Peter, I just had an interesting thought. And it's kind of a big picture thought at 30,000 feet. It's whose responsibility is it to bring down the president? Whose responsibility is it to impact what the long term is? Nancy Pelosi did a good job because she took him, for days, if not weeks, through this and waited him out. You know, on the other hand, there are media out there on a given day who try, to try to jab him and often have made mistakes recently doing it. You know, this whole BuzzFeed story of a couple weeks ago that I can't even remember what it was about at this point, where it truly was incorrect information about the special counsel. I'm looking at CNN on Friday night when the Northam thing came off. They immediately rushed to judgment and identified him as a Republican. He had the R next to his name on TV. And I think there's such a desire on part of the media's part to bring him down, to be the next Woodward and Bernstein, and to say they were the one who did it. There's wonderful journalism going on, whether it be at the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, and others, but I don't necessarily believe it's the media's responsibility to be the ones who push this. The voters have to do it. Before that, the representatives have to do it. The Democrats have potential to do it, although I think it could backfire in terms of investigations over the next days, weeks, and months in the next 2 years. But if there's too much of this, pile on, and there's too much of this kind of rush to judgment here. What's going to, and you know, the, you know, like the Don Jr. thing of a couple of days ago, who he actually was calling there. It was always assumed he was calling his dad. You know, the president actually had, had a couple of wins this past week in terms of that kind of thing. So I think what we've learned over the weeks, whether it be the media or whether it be the Democratic politicians, is rush to judgment is not going to be the way to actually affect the long term here. And I think it's analogous to the entire future campaign in 2020. Everybody's already out of the gate at this point. Harris is having huge rallies. Booker's trying to look like the you know, the love candidate out there. And this is very much, you know, what we see with all of our life, all of our kids, because of what I mentioned to you, the Googles and the Amazons and the Facebooks and such. This is the ADD society, the attention deficit disorder society, where it's just got to come really quickly. This is not going to be the way to do it. And if the Democrats continue to do it, and if media leaning to the left continue to do it without second-checking themselves, I think then there's potential you'll see President Trump in office in 2020, because the American people overall will tire of this, I have to, you know, get him mentality. This has to be done well, and Nancy Pelosi did it well during that time. You didn't hear her talk much. She was kind of a yes sir. She was a no, no, no. You know, nothing is going to be included in the wall, and she won the battle by freezing him out. These others aren't necessarily doing it, and they're making mistakes in the meantime.
Well, two things, though, I wonder about Nancy, the president, and the wall. One is he going to take any kind of retribution for Nancy's stand and locking him out of the House of Representatives for such a time?
What type of retribution, and I'm going to throw it back at you. I mean, really, what type of retribution could he necessarily take on her? I don't necessarily see, she has her own local constituency. She has her own Democratic Party constituency. I think that what you'll see Tuesday night, even, you know, is imagery that he's going to try to put out to try and get along at this point. Do I necessarily believe that that's what he'll actually do? No, because this isn't who he is. He's looking for a fight every day. I always say he looks for an Osama bin Laden on the given day. But when it comes to public appearances, he knows that he has to pass legislation in the next 2 years. He knows he should do something to clean up our health care mess in this country. He knows he should pass an infrastructure bill that could be bipartisan here. And there are other, you know, other types of legislation. He knows that he may need treaties ratified, whether they be the Mexico-Canada one or a new one with Russia, okay? He knows he's going to need the Congress, so I think he will play his cards. Nancy won't necessarily become the one who has the bad names out there. He did say, I think she's bad for this country 2 days ago, but that was very measured on his part rather than belittling her. He also, Peter, clearly knows in society today that she's a strong woman. He's always respected strong women, and my guess is he's not going to want the imagery out there going against a strong woman because of the 2020 election coming up. He already has such a low polling in terms of women. I don't think he's going to want to alienate the one who may be the most powerful in the country at this point.
Well, the kind of retribution he could seek is to have people looking for her high school and college yearbook.
There's no doubt about it. But how many term, you know, California congresswoman is she? Is this going to be what he calls fake news? Are they going to create something out there that isn't legitimate? We saw it legitimate with Roy Moore, you know, out there. So there's legitimate out there of people's past. I think we would have well seen it with Nancy Pelosi had it been out there before. I mean, let's take a little break here on Governor Northam. This didn't have to do with blackface, you know. This had to do with 5 days before, when he talked about as a former current physician about taking babies out of the womb and potentially killing the men. That's what this had to do with. Okay, on Monday he had a press conference that talked about a procedure for babies that weren't well that may be able to have them delivered and then, if I can say it bluntly, killed, you know, euthanized, dead. And what happened is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, those in either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party who said, who is this man? And at that point, they went into his past. They didn't go into it. They would not have gone into his past had he not, you know, jumped on to the third rail of American politics, or one of the two. Racism, obviously, is one, but abortion is the other. And he was talking about a procedure that no matter how progressive you are, you know, many believe was horrific, and even his party did there. So I don't know what to be dug out of Nancy Pelosi's past. It's been a long time of her being out there. I mean, could you find that campaign finance funds went, you know, to somebody, you know, people always, you know, accuse Maxine Waters of doing that, or they accuse Sheila Jackson Lee of things. Nancy has been pretty well vetted at this point, A, by the opposition, and B, by her own party.
Well, the other question that I have is the wall and a national emergency. Is it all going to end up in the Supreme Court?
Because if you know, I don't know if it'll go to the Supreme Court, but it'll be pushed out over time. And then what you may have, and you may even have this on Tuesday night, he just might use other funds. He may find Defense Department funds to use. Nothing terribly illegal, but he may try to shift some things around on the books to make this happen. Peter, they've allotted money for years for border security. This was imagery that he put forth when he talked about Mexican drug dealers as he went down that escalator back in, when was it, 2015, 2014, mm-hmm. whenever he had done it. And he believes he needs to at least have an image of it, you know, an image of, you know, he's built great hotels in the past. He wants to have the Trump wall out there. I think that if he does the national emergency, you will see it in the courts. And by the way, I would not necessarily trust the supposed conservative 5-4 with him. Justice Roberts is not 100% on his side. Justice Roberts sees himself as the new Anthony Kennedy. And shockingly, I will say this, I don't necessarily see that Justice Kavanaugh will stay with him. I think Justice Kavanaugh has shown thus far in terms of his questioning, because there haven't been many decisions, he has shown that that he's moderate. If he doesn't, you know, he's been leaning a little left on questions. He did it with one case that tied to Planned Parenthood already. So it is not emphatic that this will happen. Okay. And, you know, clearly, and I say this, hoping that, you know, that nothing happens at all. This is why the Democrats do not, you know, they want to see Ruth Bader Ginsburg healthy, because if you threw one more on top of it, there would be much more of a chance for these types of 5-4s or 6-3s to go to it. But, yeah, you will see it in court. The White House has beefed up already their legal team for what the president's going to face in terms of investigations, and the president's going to face in terms of his this border wall type of thing. And speaking of which, you only see Rudy Giuliani out there. You know, you only see the circus act out on a given day. You know, again, somebody with imagery, somebody who makes mistakes all the time. In the last 2 to 3 months, there's been a backbench team of lawyers that are that are really strengthening at the White House because they know what they're going to look at in terms of the next 2 years. You know, a big one that's come up in the last couple of days is, you know, bills in Congress that are going to force you when you go for election, presidential election or federal election, to show your taxes. You know, this is another one that I'm sure he's going to fight on, because obviously he doesn't want somebody to see him, even though I personally believe the special counsel has all his taxes in front of him.
Okay. And we have a caller this morning who wants to talk to Bob Newman about politics, the president, and a whole lot more. Let's say good morning to Ronnie. Ronnie from Ardmore, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Bob. Good morning, Peter. We're calling out here in Philadelphia, Bob. I always thought you were in Philadelphia area, Bob.
I am actually in Philadelphia a lot, and I spend a great deal of time in City Line area. Today I'm up in the Northeast, okay? I'd get in trouble on this station if I said I was a Patriots fan, but I'm a Patriots fan today. And sorry that we aren't against you guys again today, but I do spend a great deal of time. Just as background, you know, there's been times over the years I've represented both Governor Ridge and Governor Rendell on projects together. I really have a deep history in working on affairs that are tied to Pennsylvania in general and Philadelphia itself. So, but today I'm not.
I just heard you say that. Yeah, I'm with the Patriots as well. This year, of course, I like Bill Belichick's dress style. He, you know, me and him dress similarly.
Okay, Ronnie, before you ask your question, I got to run some commercials.
Yes.
You stay with me, Bob.
Oh, wonderful, yes.
Ronnie. You'll be first. Ronnie, you'll be first up when we come back. The WIP time, 7:35, and we're back. Bob Newman, Ronnie with a question. It's WIP Sunday. My name's Peter Solomon. Go, Ronnie.
Okay, well, I've called you guys several times before, and I don't know if the mea culpa is a proper word, or I just got to show respect and admiration for Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic Party. How, you know, their tenacity, and I wish the Republican Party, that our speakers were as tenacious and, you know, hold their ground so tight. I mean, With Paul Ryan and before him John Boehner, who would fold like a cheap suit. Yet Nancy stuck the ground and she kept her people in line, and you just got to respect that. But that's going on throughout history, and I think that's a major problem with our Republican Party, is that, you know, it's like herding stray cats, so to speak. Because one will go off the reservation and two more follow through, and then we don't stand by our principles. As far as the shutdown, I work in a car dealership. The month of January, our sales didn't hit. Our sales are fine. Our service department was on par with last year. We really didn't feel the economic effects, that everybody's saying. As far as this shutdown or this temporary layoff that the media was hyping up. Now, my daughter flew to Spain and she didn't have any. I'm not familiar. We don't fly that often, but everything we had no problems with her getting through the airport and delays and stuff like that. So I think people recognize that. They're starting to recognize that. The contractor who gets laid off in the wintertime is saying, "Hey, everybody's upset about these guys getting laid off. At least they're getting their back pay." When friends of mine who get laid off in the contracting business, heavy equipment operators, they don't even get unemployment because the way they're paid and their structure, they know to save a little bit for a rainy day. I'm starting to think, and I think maybe more people paid attention to this shutdown because it was the longest and because it was Trump that did it. I turn around, some of my friends at work who don't pay attention to politics as much are saying, "Oh my God, it's a shutdown." I'm like, "These happen, you know, where were you when Obama shut it down 8 years, 7 years ago? Where were you when Clinton had Clinton had a long one, almost a month back in the mid 90s? So I think it may be my perception where people started harping on me a lot about the shutdown, but it really hasn't affected them that much. But it's also interesting. Go ahead.
No. What I was going to say to you is, I think on both sides, I want to address the Nancy part first. On both sides of the aisle, we don't have in the Senate, the gentleman Senate anymore. We don't have necessarily the Tip O'Neills who worked with the president before. We don't have a lot of legislators we can respect. You know, I think back to my relationship, which is another one in Pennsylvania, with Senator Warford. Okay, you know, the late Senator Warford who just passed away.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a man who had, you know, whether I believed in what he did or not, he had enormous integrity. He was a giant that you could look up to. So there aren't many there. So when somebody pulls a move like Nancy did here, you do have to have respect for it where she did it. So I agree with you. It was a time in politics, because what's happened to us recently is there's this kind of, you know, ping pong going back and forth with people, but she really did take a hold of the reins and strengthen politics, like, you know, the Warfords had, and like the Kennedys had, and like others on the other side of the aisle have had in the past. I think, you know, there's great respect, so I appreciate you if you call it a mea culpa. On the second hand, you talked about us not being affected necessarily by the government shutdown. My son said to me yesterday, you know, as a PR guy, he said, "Dad, you're always into the what ifs, okay? What if I do this and I get in trouble? What if I do this, okay, and something doesn't go wrong?" Yeah, I mean, that's me. Everybody looks at things differently, and because nothing did happen, because there wasn't that ear disaster, because there wasn't, we didn't necessarily sacrifice ourselves out in the, you know, where the Coast Guard is out there, that they had done their work. I agree with you, it didn't necessarily affect society overall, although there will be some figures coming out talking about the amount of money that was lost during that time in a big picture. I do think it did affect lives personally. And if it didn't affect them necessarily on a one-on-one basis, they have to go to the soup kitchen or such, I do think, Ronnie, it affected them mentally, that you had many, many 800,000 government workers waking up every day wondering, you know, if they were going to get their check, or were they the people who do work paycheck to paycheck in this country, and there are many. So I would say on the imagery that I talked about at the beginning was not out there in terms of what the large effects are. We may see them in terms of some studies, and I will tell you one-on-one there were people affected by it. And let's go to the third part, back to politics. I do believe that the president, okay, and this isn't partisan either way, I do believe he may be affected by it when it comes to 2020, because while he was doing it, whether he was doing it, A, so that he, you know, could fulfill a campaign promise, put his name on the wall, or B, for good reasons in terms of border security, I think she still won the battle there. And I wonder what the fallout will be politically down the road. So I don't think we've seen the end of what the government shutdown meant.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you there with the long term, whether it's going to be a positive or a negative. I'm not sure. I'm hedging towards the positive, because he's bringing this immigration problem, which I think we all agree we do have an issue with the southern border. He's bringing it.
I think we have an issue on a lot of borders. I was shocked to death that the bus that I referred to earlier on the Arizona border. Okay, the Arizona.
Right.
Mexico won last week, where the fentanyl could have killed 40, 50 million people. I was surprised the president didn't use that. I mean, I was shocked, you know, in terms of what it could have done. So there clearly is a problem, but unfortunately, you know, real true immigration reform is being stuck in partisan politics now. And that's a sad reality here, because in any other administration in the past where there wasn't such hate for the current president. I think a deal could have got struck, which would have got the DACA recipients and others, you know, a pathway to citizenship. And then on the other side, there could have been, you know, stronger border security in terms of, including some barriers. But it's not going to happen because who the players are here. And it's especially not going to happen because of the now strength of the real progressive far left of the party, of the Democratic Party, is not going to allow Speaker Pelosi to give up and let that one word, that image word, the wall, be built.
Yeah, right. That's what it is the wall. And I think that's a shame because as long as I've been alive, people have been talking about barriers, fences. Trump uses the word wall, and it's a shame that they talk for I go back to the late 70s watching politics, and immigration has always been on that back burner. Now it's on the front burner, and it's going to show which party wants to do something.
I think the president had good ideas. I think he overplayed his hand again. This is the problem. They don't like him. Okay, Peter, I hear you want to get going. So
thank you
for good morning, good radio, and keep up the good work. And I'll
My
talk
pleasure.
To you well, Bob.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
See, the thing, Bob, that I think people forget is two walls in history, the Great Wall of China and the Maginot Line. China was supposed to be protected from the Mongols, and the Maginot Line was supposed to protect France from Germany, and both of them failed. Got to wonder if this wall is going to be a fail or not.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think what's going to happen eventually is he may pivot, okay? I mean, he may try to wag the dog with Venezuela right now, you know, and go in there. I think the president is sitting here today talking to friends, asking them about the three states I mentioned, and I think all of them are going to recommend that this whole idea of wall is not where you need to go. You're going to hear that Tuesday night, that he is not going to have such bluster in front of the Congress. You know, unfortunately, the imagery Tuesday night is, again, the far-left progressive wing of the party will not clap for anything. They won't clap for prescription drugs going down. They're not going to clap for test drugs for cancer that he got through. You're going to see, really, the standoff and the divide there. But I think you are right that not only won't it necessarily work, but I think the whole imagery that he has put out about it, he's already been backing off in terms of the words he's used. I think you may see this become secondary in the next 2 years or so. The president wins either way. Do you know that? And it happens during a lot of administrations. If, on the one hand, he gets it through, he can say he got it through. If, on the other hand, he doesn't get it through and border security problems go down, he'll say that was his Homeland Security Department. If, on the third hand, border security problems go up, he'll say I was right and we should have done it, and that's when he'll start talking about the fentanyl that they seize out there that can kill people. So I think he can win in any way. It's the bluster that's not working at this point.
Okay. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but I do want to ask you, we talked about Pelosi and her image. What about Mitch McConnell and his image?
Yeah, I think that he is the wily. He's wily. That is it. He has really made his day on getting through the federal district court judges, the appeals court judges, and the two Supreme Court appointments for the president. I think I wouldn't count him out. You know, this is an up and down. Right now, he is kind of backbenching it, and he's allowing the House really to take the reins here, except for those judicial appointments. But, you know, my instinct is that the president will have him in his court when he needs him. Clearly never had the most positive image amongst voters. He can get through, you know, Kentucky, but not overly popular. But I will tell you that the Republicans in Congress and even the Democrats on the other side just know his steely resolve. And if he wants to get something done, he knows the parliamentary procedures to get them through, as we have seen with these judicial appointments in the past. So, again, nothing positive right now, but do not count him out one single bit. And the president knows he's important, okay? He, you know, he has his wife, Secretary Chao, on his cabinet. I think he, in the end, knows Mitch is somebody that he can go to.
All right. And before we totally run out of time, Roger Stone.
Yeah, it's just a circus act, Peter. I mean, it is the worst. I think they seized enough here. Should they be going into his house the way they did, you know, like they did with Michael Cohen's office? No. Was his imagery that he put out there about getting attacked worse than Osama bin Laden and others? Was that appropriate? Not at all. This has been a dirty trickster from back in the days of Nixon, okay? This is, you know, he is a king in Donald Trump's life to what Roy Cohn was there. Here's where I think that the big question is. Will eventually he say to himself, I will play ball with the special counsel? He has never said he wouldn't during, you know, the last week or so. Roger Stone is going to do what gets him attention. The judge on Friday did not give him a gag order, but she asked him to stop talking about this like it was a talk show. Once the gag order happens, I think he'll push the pencil. This is all about his imagery in the past. I think the Mueller people have an enormous trove of information, and that's why they asked the judge for an October date rather than a July date. She wants to push it back to July and get this thing going. So I think Roger Stone is potentially one who could be a domino for worse things in terms of the administration. Will it go all the way up to the president? I don't necessarily know that. You know, that's something else that's going to be litigated, whether he can be indicted or whether he is a co-conspirator. But I think Roger Stone potentially will be in the same place that Paul Manafort is right now.
The reason I ask is, and I know it's in America, it's innocent until proven guilty, but you got to wonder, would the government go this far if they didn't think they could convict him?
No, and they did it with Michael Cohen, you know, breaking into his office and his house and everything. So I don't think they would have gone too far. I mean, Mueller's a Marine. He is very measured in terms of what he is doing. And, you know, to enlist Christopher Wray and the FBI to go in and do what they were doing, they were worried about documents being destroyed. So why don't we get him at 6 in the morning? Could it have been done another way? Yeah, but I think they know that there was such information out there. They already had it in terms of his communiques with WikiLeaks and with others that they needed to go ahead and do it. If they found nothing, okay, and here's really the point. Everybody thus far, from Michael Flynn to Michael Cohen to others, most of their problem has been lying to prosecutors, okay? I think with Roger Stone, they're going to be able to draw some more connections here back to some of the entities who were trying to affect the 2016 election. And I think you are right. They wouldn't have gone to the point they did if they didn't know they had something, because for Mueller, this would be a black mark on his record if he had gone too far here. They are taking such time with indictments, you know, whether it be the potential of Don Jr., Jared Kushner, or others. He will only indict, Peter, just as you just so thoughtfully said, those that he thinks that he definitely has a conviction pending for.
Certainly. And the beat goes on, as Sonny and Cher used to say, and the beat will continue to go on.
I wish we could get to some substance. I mean, there's so much. I don't mean to hold you. There's so much, Peter,
that this government could do, whether it be on the right or on the left, that needs to be done for this country. You know, we look at Venezuela and we say that this is just, you know, it's falling apart down there. But can you imagine how our European allies, if you still look at them, look at us now? And on the other hand, if you look at what maybe our adversaries, the Russians and the Chinese, they are just, you know, They're wiping their hands back and forth saying, you know, this is great. We have disrupted democracy at this point by how they're affecting it and by what the president is doing. So my instinct here is that, you know, America will one day see a better day, but it may not come for quite some time now. And that's not any prediction on the election of 2020. We are so far away. I'm forgetting the stories from a week ago. There'll be new stories. No one will even remember who the governor of Virginia was in a week. This is the course our country is on. It is a reality TV show every day. And we'll have a lot more to talk about as days, weeks, months, and years go on.
That's true. And want to say thank you to Bob Newman. It's always enlightening, Bob. You'll be back again soon, I promise. Thank you.
Thank you. Be well.
You too. And it's been another edition of WIP Sunday. Stay tuned for Sports Talk with Sunny Hill. Nothing left to say, but see you soon.